Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show, and today I have a great guest. She has a lot of great friends around her like I do, and her name is Anita. So, Anita, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nancy. It's great to join you today.
You're very welcome. Now, when I met the great friends, I met, of course, our angels, our guardians, our fairies, you know, all of those good people, all those good folk. So, Anita, can you tell the listeners a little bit about who you are? And do me a favor and pronounce your last name. I didn't want to mispronounce it, so please pronounce it.
Sure. My last name is Ahuja, and it's spelled A-H-U-J-A, and that's actually East Indian from India. My parents were born and raised in India, and I was actually born and raised here in the States. And to tell you a little bit about myself, I think the best thing to do is to start with the fact that, you know, when I was growing up, living with parents who were born and raised in India, there were a lot of, shall we say, cultural issues that came up with expectations that they had for raising a daughter in America, although they acted as if they were still living in India. So there were some, you know, conflicts that came up because of that. And although they always meant well, it was difficult, especially with your friends, you know, going to school dances and doing all those fun things and you staying home and not being able to do that. And, you know, of course, that's all progressed now. When I look at my niece and nephew today, things are very different. But I was sort of the guinea pig, if you will, because I was like that first generation of kids growing up here and parents experimenting with what boundaries would be appropriate. And, you know, while I was growing up, I had a lot of metaphysical experiences occur, and I always knew that I had spirits around me. There was a presence, but I couldn't really voice it. It was just this inner knowing, and, you know, the thought of expressing it created fear because you didn't know how people would react, and you also didn't want to be labeled as, you know, she's a little out there or a little wacky or something like that. In those days, you didn't want to be labeled different in any way. And nowadays, people enjoy being labeled different. But back then, you didn't want to do that. And so where I found my comfort was just having solitary time outside, reading and writing. And I just loved books that talked about people's experiences with the metaphysical. That brought a lot of comfort. And I even one day I wrote a letter to a friend whom I named Mr. Nobody. And, you know, what I didn't realize at the time that Mr. Nobody was most likely one of the presences that I had felt around myself. And apparently that letter that I'd written, one day I was out with my raincoat and that letter had been in a pocket. Apparently it fell out and some friends of mine discovered the letter. And one evening there was a knock at the door and they were on the porch with the letter and a response to the letter, which was just delightful. I loved that experience. That was so much fun. And, you know, I just growing up, I just became more and more fascinated with that part of my life and realized that many of the presences I had felt around me were actually angels. And I started learning in college, and after I started learning as much as I possibly could. And I don't know if you'll remember, but in the early 1990s, it seemed like there was just this surge of books that came out on angels and people's experiences with the paranormal and people really wanting to know about the afterlife and what happened beyond our existence on the earthly plane. And I just indulged and bought every book I could. There were even TV shows that came out, and I remember one in particular that was hosted by Patty Duke, primetime TV, and it was one of the major networks. I want to say it was CBS. It was like 8 o'clock at night, and they did a two-hour special on people's experiences, true life experiences with angels. Mm-hmm. Beautiful stories of, you know, people who were suffering with cancer, artists, people who had fought in a war, just very comforting. And finally, I started to see little by little that maybe I wasn't so abnormal to begin with, you know, that my experiences did count for something, that there was validity to them, and I needed to really honor the fact that they were happening to me and to appreciate the experience. And so I'll tell you about one experience in particular that stands out. I very much wanted to learn the names of my guardian angels. And a dear friend of mine who works with the angelic realm on a very deep level had told me that if I wanted to find out the name, that the best thing to do was at night when I was getting ready to go to sleep to just pause for a moment and you're doing it at nighttime before you go to sleep because that's when your ego defenses are less apt to interfere with what messages you might receive. So I decided, I said a little prayer and I asked to get the name of my guardian angel. And just as I was falling off to sleep, right on that brink of going, you know, from being awake to being asleep, I heard a name. And the name was so amusing to me that I woke up laughing. And I thought, no, you know, that just can't be the name of my guardian angel. I am making this up. So I went to sleep, and the next morning I woke up, and I remembered what had happened to me. And I also remembered that my friend had told me that if I wasn't sure I had heard the correct name, to ask the angels to give me validation. So half seriously, half jokingly, I asked the angels to give me confirmation. And I got ready for work. I went into the office, and for some reason that morning I was having some difficulties with my computer. And the IT guys had come into my office. They were trying to help me out. And here's what happened. I had an internet file pop up on my screen that I had never searched for, never accessed. And from top to bottom of the screen, the name of this file just kept repeating line after line. And it was the name of the guardian angel that I had heard the night before. And so there was my confirmation. And the name was Cleopatra. So now you know why I didn't believe it. And, you know, that has never happened to me before. But, you know, I'm a person who loves to get those concrete validations. And to me, there it was.
It's real important, Anita, for a lot of people to get the concrete validations, only because, you know, they do. They think that their mind is playing tricks on them and they're just dreaming it up or they're just making it up or whatever the case may be.
Right.
But, you know, people need to know that they have these angels around them all the time. And it's not that they have to know their names because they're going to be there whether you know their names or not.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people want to know their names. See, I have lots of them around me, but I don't ask their names. I just know they're there. I figure if they wanted to tell me, they'll tell me, you know. But other people aren't like that, and you weren't. You wanted to know. So
I did, and I think it was more curiosity than having, you know, just a need to know. I was just curious. And, you know, I've worked with several clients where they've wanted to know the names, and sometimes the names come through, and sometimes the angels are saying that there's a better time to learn their names, and it's not right at this very moment.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it does happen. But, you know, people need to not be afraid, you know, to find out who the angels are that are around them, the guardian angels. And, I mean, there's a whole list of different kind of angels. There's not just one angel out there, is there?
Oh, my goodness. There are so many angels. And, you know, that's of comfort also to know that we have so much divine help available. I mean, there's never going to be a shortage, Nancy. And, you know, it's our guardian angels. There's the archangels. There are the angels that are devoted to specific purposes. You know, just a whole host of divine helpers that we can ask for assistance. And, you know, the good thing is with our guardian angels, they're around us for our entire life. They never leave.
Yeah, which is very good. I mean, my stuff started when I was 6, and I wasn't really looking for it to start.
Mm-hmm.
I just happened to have a really freak accident that brought them all to me.
Wow.
You know, so I wrote a book called Raised by Angels because that's basically how I've been raised. And they actually protected me a lot, you know, because like you said, you don't want to be weird or strange or say things. So they really didn't allow me to go out and tell people what I knew until the time was right. So
mm-hmm.
all growing up, they would show me visions. They would tell me things. I would see all kinds of stuff, know all kinds of stuff. But if I would go to tell somebody like I knew they were going to die, they wouldn't let me do that. You know, and they didn't let me do anything really until I was about 14 or 15 when I had a really freak, not a freak accident, but a car accident we were going to be in. But they showed me mm-hmm. a video about what was going to happen if we didn't change it before we got to the other side of this hill.
Wow.
You know, so they come through when they need to come through. You know, and I think some people are kind of nervous or afraid when they first start to think that there's something else around, because it's like, am I losing my mind? What's going on? Is somebody playing a joke on me? So when you're started to come through, Anita, how did you feel about that?
You know, at first, it was mixed feelings, Nancy. At first, it was like, oh, my God, what's happening, you know? And not so much fear, but just trying to understand it. And the other part of it was excitement, because I knew that something outside of, you know, my normal everyday existence was occurring. And that made me feel good, that there was something extraordinary happening. And something, you know, I'd always been fascinated with the extraordinary, and I was just so pleased that I could be a part of it. And I know for me, you know, you were talking about the video. It was like a videotape for you. For me, the angels have worked a lot in my dreams, Nancy. Mm-hmm. And they gave me what I called signposts, different things that would happen along the way before something that I was asking about would actually occur.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, you know, I wouldn't remember those dreams, but when one of those quote-unquote signposts would actually occur in my life, I would get that deja vu feeling. And then I would remember the dream and go, oh, my God, I mean, there's a huge connection here. And so just to know that there is, you know, this divine string, this divine connection and orchestration going on through my life, that things aren't happening, you know, coincidentally, that brought me a lot of comfort, too. I think as far as fear goes, for me, a lot of the reasons that have come up on, you know, when I ask for divine assistance, I'll realize that those situations are based on fear that I have inside of myself. And that if I would start creating things in my life and behaving and acting in a way that's based on love and not situations that are based on fear, that really turns things around. And that's what's happened over the course of the last 10 years. I'll realize that something I'm worrying about is something that I've created out of my own fear. And when I sit and try to have my motivation be, okay, if I could turn this situation into something that's based on love, how would I feel and what is it that I would want to have come out of this? And that has transformed a lot of situations. And, you know, I know that's the angels working with me to look at things with a different perspective and really look at, you know, the way I've been programmed, to change that programming and not always be operating on what if this happens or what if that happens and, oh, my God, I could make the worst decision in the world right now. But instead of looking at it that way, stopping and looking at the situation for what it is without going into that fear and then asking for guidance based on that.
I think it's real important, Anita, that people understand that, you know, whatever they want is there for the asking.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody is in fear, if they ask for their angels to come through to help them, it will usually alleviate that fear. Plus, it will feel like somebody's arms have been wrapped around you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really kind of neat. And but again, people, especially right now, I'm finding have a really hard time thinking that there's somebody out there helping us or something out there helping us, because they take a look at the way the world is today and it's like, oh, my God. But one of the biggest things is that it appears that we've actually forgotten how to love. And our angels are there trying to reteach us and reshow us that this is the main element of life.
Mm-hmm.
And yet people have a really hard time with that concept. You know, they would rather be angry or act like they hate somebody or fear somebody rather than try to love somebody no matter what the situation may be. And I know that's a hard thing to do, because when some pretty bad things are going on, it's real hard to go, oh, but I love this person and I know that they're, but they need to learn that it would be good if they could at least work on that a little bit. Now, is there a difference, Anita, in your thoughts between the fairies and the guardian angels?
Yes, there is. The guardian angels are the ones that are with us for our entire life, and the angelic vibration is different than that of the fairies. The fairies are what we call the nature angels, and their vibration is a little more dense. They're much closer to the earthly plane. And so when you tune in and you work with a guardian angel as opposed to a fairy, you will notice the difference vibrationally. And having worked with both realms, you know, in a on several occasions, I can tell you that I love working with both. I know, you know, for several years I had read and learned about the fairies without having had my own personal experience with them, and so I started to meditate with them. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult to actually see the fairies clairvoyantly. They'll often appear as light forms, or you might feel like a little flutter of wings fly by you, which is different than feeling an angelic wing around you. The sense is very different. But I remember on one occasion I was in my backyard on a beautiful summer evening meditating, and this was so real that I actually woke up to see if, you know, there was something physically going on around me. But energetically, what had happened is I had seen these fairies actually come up out of the earth in my backyard. And they looked very different than how you would envision a typical fairy. They were brown in color, and their form almost looked like a little alien. Like, did you ever see the movie E.T. with them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it almost looked like that form. They were small, but they were brown. And there was a whole parade of them coming up out of the earth. And they were there to have a very serious talk with me, but also to give me some solutions to some situations that I had been experiencing. And they also, they really helped ease my mind. And I was very appreciative about this. So, you know, what I'm realizing is that the purpose of the fairies is not only to come in and lighten up the energy as we would expect a fairy to do, but they're also really good at helping us heal issues that are going on within us. They are wonderful at providing divine wisdom, and they also love to help work on creating our dreams. You know, the phrase fairy tale, that didn't just, you know, come up out of nowhere eons ago. There is such a thing as a fairy tale. The fairies come in and they show you, they give you practical steps on how to create your wishes and help them come true. And, you know, that has happened. And I'll tell you, after that experience with those brown fairies in my backyard, I believe it was just a couple months later, I was leading a tour in Glastonbury in England. And I had walked into a shop where they had some beautiful different statues, and particularly of the fairy realms. And all of a sudden, I just stopped short, because in front of me on this little carousel that was on the checkout desk, I saw this tiny little fairy that looked exactly like the brown fairies I had seen in my backyard. And I thought, oh my God, this is real again. And it was just a little small statue, I'd say maybe about 5 inches tall, with these little transparent wings. But the expression and the form was exactly like the ones I had seen in my backyard. And so that, you know, that was a great experience as well. And, you know, as a result of my bond with the fairies, I work with them on a regular basis as well as with the angels. And they actually work well together.
I was just going to ask you if they work well together. And you know, but see, I would think they would. See, I know fairies have a little bit different personality than angels do.
Mm-hmm.
And they can have more fun, we'll put it that way. They can have more fun than the guardian angels do. But fairies, it's fun energy, and it's energetic energy, and it makes you feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and a lot of people, I think, actually do work with it. I just don't think they realize that they're working with it at the moment. Now, you're also a professional intuitive consultant and an angel therapy practitioner and a medium. But can mm-hmm. you explain what an angel therapy practitioner is?
Absolutely. An angel therapy practitioner is one who works with the angelic realm, the archangels, the different groups of angels, our guardian angels, and we learn how to communicate with them to receive messages for people who are seeking wisdom from the angels. We also learn healing techniques that the angels have taught us, especially through Archangels Michael and Raphael. You know, techniques that you're probably familiar with, such as cord cutting mm-hmm. and, you know, healing from addictions. Those are things we learn as well. And learning, you know, how to read the aura and scan the body. with angelic help so that we can provide information to folks who are seeking information about what's going on with themselves. You know, a lot of times people's primary issues are usually about health, relationships, or life purpose. And so we learn, you know, how to really tune into the angelic realm to provide feedback to folks in those three areas. As far as being a medium, that's something that I love serving as well. And it's basically being able to communicate with folks who have crossed over to the other side. A lot of people will come and ask for messages from deceased loved ones. And so I love doing that. And I remember, I mean, I have obviously some experiences that stand out. For example, I remember a few years ago, I had a client, a woman who was concerned about her daughter. And without telling me the full situation of what had happened, she asked me some specific questions, some signs that she could get from the other side, and then she told me what was going on, and it was basically having to do with her daughter who had been fighting in the war, and she died in an accident, and she was seeking clarity, and the clarity that she received from people on the other side brought so much healing for her, Nancy. I can't tell you, because there's no way that I or whomever else is serving as a medium could know these specific things about family issues and special events and significance of symbols in those families that came through. There's no way we could have known on our own. They knew that there was communication from the other side, and that just because someone had physically died didn't mean that they weren't still present or not still communicating with them. So there's been several experiences with that. I also worked with the September 11th victims in California and actually ran support groups for them in my day job. I work for the state government as a manager for the Victims of Crime Program. And, you know, this was actually just as I was learning more about how to be a medium, and I never practiced that in my support group meetings because these were government-sponsored. But I do know of a couple of victims who actually went on their own and met with someone who was a medium, and the healing that was brought through that experience probably was created the most healing that I had seen in the 3 years that I'd been working with them. And so I knew it was powerful. So I'm so grateful that we have the ability to serve in that capacity, because it brings so much healing to people.
Do you think, Anita, that everyone has an ability to do mediumship, or has maybe gone through some medium stuff coming through but not realize it?
Mm-hmm. I think oftentimes our deceased loved ones will come through in dreams, and we may dream about somebody and think it was just a dream, but that person was really communicating with you. Deceased loved ones will also come through and do things around the house that, you know, maybe they used to do while they were around, or they love to experiment with electricity, and, you know, that's why you often hear about lights flickering and or music coming on, or all of a sudden you've been thinking of someone and their favorite song is playing. They come through, and we all have the ability to receive those messages. It's, as you say, it's a matter of recognizing what's happening.
So do you teach people how to do that, Anita?
I do teach people how to communicate with the angels. I have taught one class on how to be a medium. It's, you know, one thing, I think the biggest thing to understand when you're learning to communicate with the other side is that more than half the battle is people believing that they have the ability to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, there's an aura of some people don't believe it's real. Some people think that they just, they weren't born that way, so how could they learn how to do it?
Yeah, but the truth of the matter is that everybody's born with all kinds of abilities. They just have to allow them to come through.
Right, and be able to develop them.
Yeah, and sometimes they do need help in developing them, because sometimes it can be pretty scary. You know,
yeah.
I'm not going to tell you it's not, because it can be. You know? You know, I see what happens with me when somebody comes through who's crossed over. They'll have, like, for example, if they used to smoke, I don't smoke, but I'll smell smoke in my car, mm-hmm. or I'll smell smoke, you know, around me, and I'll go, well, okay, it must be one of my brothers. You know, I don't know for sure what you want to say, but just let me know whenever you want, you know, and, you know, well, stuff and so, like that.
Yeah, and I know I've had, you know, more than one occasion where I'll wake up and I'll be smelling flowers in my room. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I work a lot with Mother Mary, and so that's often a symbol of her being present. But once in a while, it's a symbol of something else, and you'll know because the flowers smell differently.
Mm-hmm. How did you have the opportunity to work with Mother Mary?
Oh, wow, that's a loaded question, Nancy. But I'll give you the one-minute version. I'll try. When I was in college, you know, having parents from India, I was raised in the Hindu religion, but I was still fascinated by other religions and the things they taught, especially the Catholic religion. I just had this real connection to Mother Mary and the angels, and I wanted to learn more. And so I started attending Catholic Church and learning about her and, you know, her life, what she taught, and how she comes through, the apparitions. I was very fascinated with, you know, how she appears today in places like Lourdes and Medjugorje and all over the world. She's constantly present working on bringing peace to the world. And through my experiences with the Catholic Church, I learned how to communicate with her. Not that the Catholic Church taught me how to do that communication, because they would tell you they don't believe in that. But they believe in certain mystical experiences, but not others. There's apparently a boundary, which I don't agree with. But
me neither.
I had that, you know, forced on me. But I think outside the church, as I started exploring more of the metaphysical world and learning to communicate with different ascended masters who are different from the angelic realm, I started to work very closely with Mother Mary. And she brought forward some beautiful messages, not only, you know, for things that were happening with me, but for clients I was working with. And I do teach classes about her, Nancy. One of the things I do is I'm a advisor on 1-2-listen.com, which is, you know, a lot of gifted psychic advisors who have varying specialties are of service on that site to folks who want to call in on a variety of issues. But we also have a sister website, 1-2academy.com, where we teach different teleclasses on a huge range of topics. And one of my topics is Mother Mary. I also teach about angels. I teach about different ascended masters. And I also teach about earth changes and the different shifts that are going on the planet right now, you know, especially as we're moving into a higher vibration as we head towards 2012.
Mm-hmm. Which is all different.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's different, but it's also, you know, the angels giving us wisdom about how to transition through these shifts successfully, because a lot of us are feeling a huge physical toll moving through these vibrations.
Mm-hmm. Very much. In fact, a lot of people right now are having a really tough time with the vibrations that keep coming and going.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like waves. Because most of the times I'm doing the readings, everybody's going, God, I feel so bad. You know, and just yesterday I felt so good. It's like, well, kind of get used to it. There's a lot of waves coming in about now.
Yeah, and you know, 2011 is going to be a powerful year. And you know, I want to make it clear that when I talk about 2012, I am not talking about the apocalypse or gloom and doom or anything like that. It is my firm belief that 2012 is about a huge shift into a higher vibration, and it's like we're returning to our ancient roots, you know, going back to why we were created in the first place and moving into an era of golden light. But in order to get there, we do have to shift. And these shifts, whether or not we accept them, we are going through them.
Yeah, and to me, they've already started, because my angels used to tell me, mm-hmm. 2010, and they made it very clear from the time I was 6 years old to 2010, and I thought, 2010, when's that? I mean, I'm only 6 years old.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
But, you know, it's here, and a lot of things have occurred, and more things are occurring, and it's not quite over yet before this year ends. But a lot of things have gone on, and you know, they used to show me a lot of stuff that was going on. But they would constantly tell me it's 2010, 2010. So our calendar is a little off. So when people talk about 2012, they're really not talking about the year 2012 anyway, because it's already here. Mm-hmm. And so that's why a lot of the shifts are going on. And 2011, I think, is going to be really powerful all the way through 2017, actually, mm-hmm. which is when we do lots of shifts. Now, you also do a radio show.
Yes, actually, I had been doing one. I took a break, and now I'm starting it again on January 6th. 12radio.com is where I will be. And my show is premiering on Thursday, January 6th at 7 p.m. Pacific time, and it's titled Lifting the Veil.
Okay, now repeat it again so people can find you.
Oh, absolutely. It's 12radio.com. And if you just go to the show schedule, I don't know if it's posted just yet, but my show will be premiering on the evening of Thursday, January 6th at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, titled Lifting the Veil. And I'm very excited. I love interviewing people from around the world about the different work that they're doing to transform the planet. And I also just love to talk to listeners about the shifts right now, Nancy, because mm-hmm. I find there's so many people who just don't understand what's going on. And it's about removing the fear and actually embracing the shifts and the power that it can have in each of our personal lives.
Yeah, which is really going to be very powerful if people just relax and breathe and go with it rather than try to fight it or listen to the media, you know, the TV, the radio, and all the newspapers that want us to believe that we have to fear this, there's tragedy coming, and everybody's going to die, and the world is going to end.
Right.
It's not true, and people have got to understand that, because a lot of people are tending to panic. It's like, oh, should I just die now? It's like, no, you shouldn't, okay? But, you know,
there are a lot of people. That's a good point. There's a lot of people right now thinking, I can't handle this. Maybe it's my time to cross over. And, you know, it may feel overwhelming, but you have to believe that you're going to get through it, because you will. And, the message that your angels gave you about 2010, it's absolutely true in that there's a lot of shifts that have happened this year. This year so far has been the most intense of all the years that we've had as we've been shifting. And next year feels like it's just going to be more about us really owning who and what we are and stepping up to our purpose and our power.
See, and that's real important, because a lot of times when I'm doing, you know, the consultations, people go, well, you know, what am I here for? What am I supposed to do? You know, and it's like, this is the time you're going to find out. Just step forward and let them tell you what it is. You know, but a lot of people are afraid that they're not going to make it, or they don't want to make it. And, you know, mm-hmm. and then it will be their choice. You know, they're not going to be forced to go on if they really don't want to go on. You know, so, but it is a really great time that's coming. And I keep saying, okay, bring it on, bring it on. Everybody looks at me like I'm crazy, but that's how I feel. It's like, just bring it, you know. I just can't wait. You know, but
well,
go ahead.
That's a good point, because I keep telling my clients, you know, it's really a gift that we were born during and that we're alive during this historical time. I mean, mm-hmm. it's one of the most historical times on the planet.
It really is. And I don't think people are going to realize it until we've kind of already been there and passed it. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to dawn on them, you know, I made it through this great time and all this stuff is so cool now. You know, and again, there's still going to be some tragedies going on, because the Earth itself still has to make its changes. And, you know, we've tried to kill it several times.
Yeah, I know.
The Earth is going to continue. It's been here longer before we have, but it's going to continue. Now, you also teach classes other than the Blessing of Mother Mary. You teach other classes. Why don't you talk a little bit about those?
Sure. 12academy.com is where I teach, and these are teleclasses, which I love, because anyone from around the world can register and call in and participate in the class. And the topics that I love to teach about, obviously, one is angels. Secondly, I just taught a class about crystal balls and about the meaning of crystal balls, you know, their symbolism throughout history, how to use them. It's something that I've recently learned, and just fascinated by crystals, because they are a gift of the earth. And as a gift of the earth, they have something to offer us. And so that's something that I've taught as well. I've also, as I was mentioning earlier, I've talked taught about the earth changes. And I know that I will be teaching a lot about that next year for the very reason, you know, because of the shifts and the different transitions that people are going through. This class will really help people understand why these shifts are occurring and what their purpose is. And I think that once people are able to embrace the shifts as opposed to walk away from them, that, you know, they're going to see shifts in their own life occur. So that's a big topic for me. I also teach about a couple of Ascended Masters that I have a real affinity with, and those are the Ascended Master Ganesh and the Ascended Master Lakshmi. And it's really interesting because Lord Ganesh and Goddess Lakshmi are, you know, their origins are in the Hindu religion, and I was raised in that religion, but spent so much time fighting it and running away from it, only to find, you know, as I got a little bit older and wiser and mature, that these are two divine entities that love to work with us. And my experience with them has been that they're very gentle, kind energies, and they're just awesome at, you know, delivering for us and helping us give answers and resolving situations. And just, I mean, it's instant. For me, when I work with them, they are just right there, just as the angels are, giving feedback and suggestions on what next steps should be. So that's something that I love to do. I also love to teach about the fairy realm, and I talk about how the fairies work with us, the leprechauns, gnomes and elves. And most of my classes, not only do I offer a lot of knowledge and learning about the topic, but I also do guided meditations in each of the classes so people can have their personal experiences with the different entities that we're working with, and, or I should say energies. People are sometimes afraid of the word entity, so yeah. I'll say with the different energies that we work with, and so they can have their own personal experience, and then when the class ends, they can continue that communication with that particular energy. I also love to teach about the unicorns, which they're also part of the elemental realm, but I teach an hour-long class about their aura, how they specifically work with us and their messages for this period of time on the planet. And in addition, you know, I teach about mediumship. And one of the things I do is lead tours to different sacred sites around the world. So once in a while, I will offer a class about a different sacred site, and I have one coming up on Egypt. I'm going to be leading a tour there next November so that we can be at the pyramids on 11-11-11.
Wow.
And, yeah, so I'm going to be offering a class to talk about that tour and, you know, the ancient wisdom that comes to us from Egypt and how we can adapt that to our current circumstances. So I think, you know, that's an overview of the different topics that I've covered. One topic that I'm hoping to get more into next year is intuitive intelligence for the workplace. So many of us work in mainstream occupations, and yet we're doing a lot of growth spiritually and intuitively. And it's about practically applying that wisdom to situations that occur in the workplace, you know, so that we can make it a harmonious place for us.
Yeah, that's real important. Why don't you give out your website and let people know how they can contact you?
Absolutely. My personal website is angelsaroundtheearth.com. That's all one word, angelsaroundtheearth.com. You can contact me there. You can also contact me on 12listen.com. Either place, I will reply to your email. And I do set up appointments for readings by phone on 12listen.com. And I'm also, Nancy, I'm offering email readings. That's something new that started this year. And I'm also offering healing sessions for people who are struggling with addictions or really need work on their self-esteem and self-confidence. A lot of that has been coming up recently, and so I do offer sessions on being able to affirm the gift of who you are so that you can get to where you need to be.
Which is pretty important, I think, for right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about the archangels, because on your website you have a whole list of names, and the one I'm mostly, you know, interested in is Archangel Metatron.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because he works with children.
Right.
And one of the things that I am doing is I have a 501c3 called A Child's Miracle Mind, Inc., and the project that I'm doing is called The School of Now, which is working with children that have been labeled with ADD, ADHD, problem children, children that don't fit the bell curve, and the ones that are just outright bored. But what it really is to help the children understand their own abilities, their intuitive abilities, whether they're indigo, crystal, rainbow children, whatever they are, and
mm-hmm.
have them in a very safe environment. But for the common, ordinary, everyday people, I can't say it like that, you know, because everybody goes, ooh, this is woo-woo, you know. But Archangel Metatron is pretty important, I think, when it comes to the children, especially when they are passing out the ADD medicine like it's candy.
Oh, my God. I mean, I just get sick to my stomach when you bring this up because it's such a sad issue. But, you know, Archangel Metatron, even as we're talking, he's coming through, Nancy, and just showing me that he is just doing a huge sweep across the planet, and he's saying no more. We're not going to treat children like this anymore. And there's a lot of people such as yourself who are being mobilized throughout the planet, you know, to end this misdiagnosis of the kids and, you know, teaching people how to genuinely understand the nature of these kids and what's going on with them. Another thing that's happening is a lot of the babies that are coming into the world now and have been for the several last years are not what we would call your typical children. These are very highly evolved spiritual souls that are coming forward as we shift on the planet. And just because they're different, just because they communicate differently, just because they eat differently, just because they behave differently or have different preferences than the normal child is supposed to have, doesn't mean there's something wrong with them. There's not. And so what he is doing is he's showing me that he is literally doing downloads with people through their dreams, through experiences, you know, this aching desire that comes up in their heart to really move away from these misdiagnoses and moving towards a new understanding of children and what their needs are right now. One thing that I'm being led to tell you is, I don't know, there was a TV show on some time ago, and I'm not sure if it's coming back, but there was a chef named Jamie Oliver, and he was talking about, he had a show on NBC, you know, talking about nutritional needs of children and how we're really messing with kids with the way we feed them in the school cafeterias and how we can shift the diet so that it supports them more to feel better and to perform better. And that is one of the things that Archangel Metatron is working with is, you know, how do we feed these kids? How do we feed ourselves in this time on the planet? And what is the most nurturing way to go?
Mm-hmm. You know, and the school is designed as a live-in school and a day school both. And
yeah.
It will accommodate 500 students when it's finished, K through high school. And it's really, really important that it gets finished because it's so much needed along with, you know, everybody else that's working on it too.
Well, that's so fabulous you're doing that.
Well, they're kind of like our hope and our future, and people just don't quite understand that. And if they
no.
keep drugging them, we're not going to have a very good future here now, are we?
No, I mean, I think you've really hit a huge core issue, and it's something that's growing and growing. I have a dream of creating a foundation, and it's the acronym for it is CFC, and basically it's Chocolate for Children. And I know I just talked about nutrition, but Chocolate for Nutrition is really focused about providing children around the world with equal opportunities. I mean, the basic need for food. That's one thing that weighs on my heart heavily. And it's just, I would love it if each child on the planet could at least taste chocolate just once in their life. And I don't mean manufactured chocolate. I mean genuine chocolate.
Right. Which, actually, genuine chocolate is good for them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
There's ingredients in genuine chocolate that actually help children with ADD, ADHD to settle down.
Well, there you are. There's a solution right there.
Okay, you know, things like that. But, you know, that's pretty important. And I really do, I mean, I have all kinds of stuff going on, but that's one thing that is very, very important. Now, you also have a CD out that's a meditation CD. Talk about mm-hmm. that a little bit.
Sure. The title of my CD is Dreaming with the Dolphins. And this product is a result of my having done a lot of work with the dolphins. You know, I spent some time in Hawaii and other places where the dolphin energy has just been very powerful. And as a result, started doing a lot of meditating, and all of a sudden, and this is how a dolphin energy works. It's like, boom, they've planted an idea, and the idea was, you know, record this CD, and here's what we want you to talk about, and get it out there. So I'm going to tell you that one day in April, I got this idea. The opportunity to record it came up quite beautifully. It just sort of fell into my lap. And the script came up. It was just, you know, a channeling directly from the dolphins. So within 6 weeks, I had, you know, the entire project completed and the message out there. And I want to tell you that I think the primary message from the dolphins, you know, they have this beautiful rainbow aura, a very high vibration, and their energy is so pure. So that when you work with them, it's almost like doing a cleansing of your inner body. It's as if you have their energy and that the beautiful salt water just coming through you and doing an inner cleansing. And one of the segments on the CD is about third eye clearing to help people, you know, being able to clear out their clairvoyance and their sensory ability so that they can see more clearly. Another message that came through while doing that CD is this message of compassion, and it's both the dolphins and the whales that carry this incredible vibration of compassion and wanting us as human beings to display that compassion to everyone who is a part of our life, even if it's someone, as we were talking about earlier in the show, someone who's proving to be difficult to love. And so those messages came out, as well as a meditation with the creatures of the ocean. There is a lot about ocean life that we don't know about, including the mer realm, the mermaids and the mermen, and learning more about their mystical qualities. So there was a lot that was revealed through the process of recording the CD, and I'm really happy with it. I'm just delighted that the dolphins brought this opportunity and that it, you know, resulted in a nice product.
Good. And they can get that off of your website?
Correct. Yeah. If they just come onto my website and go to the products tab, they will see the CD there.
Okay. So now give out your website again, because we don't want anybody to miss it.
Sure. The website is angelsaroundtheearth.com, all one word. And just click on the products tab, and the Dreaming with the Dolphins CD will come up.
You know, and that's pretty important. You have a lot of things on your website, like you have fairy messages, and you have, you know, like another thing called angel scoops. What's that one about?
Angel scopes, that's something that I love doing. That's something that I do exclusively for 1-2-listen.com. And just like we have horoscopes, some people have daily horoscopes, some have weekly. This is a monthly horoscope, where I tune into the angels at the end of every month to tune into the vibration of the coming month and what the messages are for the specific signs of the zodiac. And, you know, they will give messages about what's coming up, about what to prepare for, about things, internal things that might need to be cleared up in order to progress to the next phase. There could be things to watch out for, nutritional advice. There's a whole variety of things that the angels will talk to me about as I prepare the scopes. And it's something I love to do. And again, you know, tying it back to the vibrational changes on the planet, these scopes have been proving to be pretty powerful to help people just walk through their the path with the shifts that are occurring in their personal life because of the worldly changes that are occurring.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, people need to pay attention to.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's real important. Mm-hmm. Somehow they're not quite getting it just yet, but they really need to pay attention to that.
Well, so and one of the messages that I'm getting is that people are being way too hard on themselves. They've got to look at this just a little bit more realistically, believe it or not. And when I say realistically, I mean just more factual. Okay, we're going through a huge shift on the planet. We can all get through this. Now, be wise about it. What can I do to help myself get through this? You know, don't go drowning yourself in a pit and thinking, I'll never get through it. It's too hard. It's too much. Think about the positive side of it and think about what can I do to help myself.
See, and that's a part I think people have a really hard time with, is helping themselves and not just helping everybody else, because people want to help everybody else, but they somehow forget mm-hmm. that if they don't help themselves, they're not going to be able to help very many people down the road.
Yeah, very good point, Nancy.
You know, and I use when I explain that, I use the scenario when you're getting on a plane and they're going to tell you how to use all the things on the plane, the seatbelt, and then they want you to put on that mask in case something happens. But the one thing that they say that people really don't listen to is put the mask on yourself first, okay? And it's important. So I use it as a scenario, and I ask people, do you know why they tell you to put the mask on yourself first? And most people, well, I don't know. Well, mostly because it gives you enough air to help the next person next to you, where if you don't do that and you try to help somebody else first, you may not make it. So
yeah.
It's like, you know, it's not a selfish thing. It's just if you want more energy to come around, you got to do yourself and take good care of yourself. Because without you taking good care of yourself, who's going to do that? You know, so that's a biggie.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we ignore the obvious sometimes, don't we?
Yeah, because it's easy, you know. Everybody goes, oh, that's egotistical if I help myself first. But it really isn't. I mean, you got to help you to get your energy going and keep your energy coming back and flowing back. Our time is basically just about up, Anita. It's been wonderful having you on the show. It went by very quick.
It did. I really enjoyed being here. Thank you so much for bringing me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. You know, so again, give out your website one more time so people can find you.
Absolutely. My website is angelsaroundtheearth.com, all one word, and also onetolisten.com.
Great. Anita, thank you for taking the time to be on the show. It was very enlightening, and I'm sure everybody enjoyed it as much as I did.
Thank you, Nancy. Have a great holiday.
You too, and everybody else out there, great Merry Christmas, and we'll see you after Christmas. Take care, everybody. May God bless all of you, and think about what we talked about. Bye now.